Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Hebrews 10 verses 23 through 27. Let us hold a profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Friend, let us look at another text from the Old Testament, and first consider the background of it. It was the time when David was already in the service of King Saul, the first king of Israel. He was already recognized as a national hero, and the people sang his praises. Saul, of course, grew very jealous of David, and had previously tried to slay him. The time of the new moon approached. It was a significant time for the Jews, as it marked the beginning of the month. It was celebrated with a feast and ceremonies and sacrifices. Saul was to prepare a feast, and David and many others were expected to be present. It was David's duty to be there because he was now an official of Saul's kingdom. Because of Saul's enmity toward him, however, David asked permission of Jonathan, Saul's son and the heir apparent, to be dismissed from that feast, and permission was granted. But we read in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 18, Jonathan said, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty." Now we wish to consider the problem of the empty seat with regard to the assembly of brethren. The Lord's church suffers seriously because so many allow their seat to be empty at the worship services. And there are some parallels between the case of some today and that of David. At the time that David belonged in his seat, he planned to be elsewhere. Oh, he would be missed. Habitual and deliberate absenteeism from the assembly, friend, is not accidental. It is more often than not because we plan to be absent, either doing other things or allowing them to interfere and permitting them to push aside our sacred duty to worship God. We mistakenly sometimes refer to an absence being due to providential hindrance. Actually, this is a misnomer. Providence is the operation of God. God does not command something of us and then erect barriers that prevent us from doing what He has commanded. There may be times and circumstances that may arise over which we do not have control that may make attendance impossible, such as illness, or caring for the sick, or other unplanned and unexpected interferences. But we ought not lay the blame for our absence on a work of God when it is our own doing. More often than not, it is simply because we plan to be absent. And there are those who will please take note of our absence, just as Jonathan told David some would notice that his seat was empty. Those who are the enemies of the church will notice when we're absent. Saul was David's enemy, and Saul noted his absence. People who know that we profess to be Christians and who know the obligation of Christians to worship God on the first day of the week, they will see us when we fail to discharge that duty and privilege and see us elsewhere but not at worship. While Saul got angry that David was absent, we can be sure that Satan and those who serve him, they will not be absent to see that we have failed. It gives them an opportunity to simply say, "See how little his faith really means to him?" Friend, no wonder so many in the world are not impressed with the Lord's church. So many who claim to make up the church do not discharge their duty to faithfulness even in worship. They not only neglect to do what they ought, but they defy a divine command and they disobey God. But Christian brethren will miss you. Jonathan missed David because he loved David and wanted him to be present. When brethren assemble, regardless of the hour, they miss those who have chosen not to attend. They're trying to be faithful, but they're discouraged and disappointed that one of their own brethren cares so little for them and for God. Seldom is there an assembly when the absentees are not mentioned in prayer, not self-righteously, but out of concern for the soul of the ones who see fit to plan to deliberately ignore their duty. Friend, God misses you when you're absent. God knows not only that you're absent, but He knows the real reason why you are absent. Nothing escapes His awareness, Hebrews 4:13. The excuses that people often use to justify in their own mind why they refuse to worship does not carry any weight with God. He knows why we stay away, and how we could have been present if we just cared enough to be present. He knows how we make our plans without proper regard for our duty as a child of God. And while one might deceive himself and even some of the brethren, we cannot deceive God when we are absent from worship on Lord's Day. Transgression of God's will does not go unnoticed, and God holds us accountable. When we assemble, it is to worship God. We're not merely going to church like we're attending some club meeting. It is without explanation how some professed Christians can take disobedience to a divine command so lightly as if it were nothing important. We are to meet around the Lord's table at His call. When an invitation from anybody is refused, common courtesy demands a better response than to simply ignore it. We would not treat dignitaries of this world with the same discourtesy that some evidently have toward the Lord. Absenteeism deprives us of something vital to spiritual growth and development, which itself is commanded, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. We cannot and we will not grow without spiritual food, which is the Word of God, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. And we are expected to offer spiritual sacrifices of praise, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Deliberate absenteeism from partaking of the Lord's Supper is tantamount to a refusal to proclaim the Lord's death till He comes again, 1 Corinthians 11. Love for God will motivate us to always be present when physically possible. Worship is a period of communion and fellowship with God and the brethren. It is the performance of a sacred and divinely commanded duty. It is the proper stewardship of influence and time and talents. All these matters should concern those who really expect to go to heaven after this life ends. Dare we pass off so serious a matter with the trite excuses that generally characterize brethren? Can our love for God and the opportunity to worship be set aside so easily as if the whole operation was superficial and optional and really did not matter? Is it not obvious that many evidently so consider the periods of worship? Friend, when we are absent, in one sense, our seat is not really empty. But in another sense, it is really not empty at all. It is full of testimony to the spiritual neglect of which we are guilty. The seat is before all as a source of discouragement, especially to those who care for our souls and who are trying so hard to do what God directs. Our empty seat is a monument to our spiritual immaturity and our indifference. Our empty seat is a delight to the enemies of the Lord. How can one be at peace with himself, knowing that he is giving the forces of evil additional ammunition to war against the forces of God? In view of so much of this world that is stained with spiritual darkness, and with the decline of morality, with the desecration of things that are sacred, with our young growing up in a society where God and His Son are cast aside for the paltry and wicked things of a degenerate world, how can a Christian be indifferent to such things? Yes, there is a problem of the empty seat in the Lord's church. Is it my seat that is creating this problem? Is it your seat? Are we guilty of habitual, deliberate, frequent absence? Are we planning things that prevent our loyalty to duty? Those who are content with the empty seat in the assembly here and now may have to accept the fact that they will have no seat around the throne of God in heaven. Obedience to God is essential to salvation. Hebrews 10:25, friend, cannot be dismissed and shunted as if it does not matter. Faithfulness in worship will never be considered a light and trivial matter to those who are truly faithful children of God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.